During the summer, when the weather gets hot, I can only imagine how much time you plan to spend outside with your friends or alone on your couch with that AC blasting. AT&T 5G and home internet keeps you connected, so you can enjoy all the summertime vibes. Whether you're sharing a pic from a rooftop, video calling your friends from an outdoor concert, or streaming your favorite show episode after episode. So stay connected to your favorite people and your favorite things with AT&T 5G and home internet. AT&T 5G requires compatible plan and device coverage not available everywhere. Learn more at att.com/5G for you.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue with its powerful V6 turbo engine. Well, we had time to see all the animals. Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears. Real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
The NBA Finals begin Thursday, June 6th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ABC.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Moments like my daughter telling me a new joke mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that is spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
J.O.N., I think it's about time that you play me some pimping, please.
Play me some motherfucking pimping.
Summoned. I like that.
Oh, you can't wait.
Oh, what? You want some eating?
Man, no, go ahead. Eat your food, man.
No, nigga, if you hungry.
I'm drinking this right now.
It don't matter. I'm hungry.
No, man, you eat, bro.
Well, we got wings, we got fish.
I see.
No, we're trying.
Man, I'm with y'all over here. This ain't the first time.
Hey, man, you know how good that can't get.
He fucked with you last time. He fucked with you because that nigga don't offer his food to no fucking
bride. Yeah, right.
Right.
Hey, man.
Right. We done had 100 guests. That nigga ain't never offered nobody shit.
No, I appreciate it. You heard it in his voice, though. He said, what it is you got over there? I said, well, he's on the wings.
Anytime you see something golden fried, you better say something.
Man, come on.
It's JJ. You know me?
Yeah. I fuck with that, J-O-N.
Man, my food, your food, nigga, whatever you want.
I appreciate you.
Whatever you need. Y'all ain't home?
Yeah. Nah, we straight.
Say no more. We finna have us a fish.
You know what this is about. Used to be a managed boy hunching behind the house. Yeah. Hunching behind the house. Uh-huh. This that old school shit. We used to hunch behind the house.
Yo.
If a mama gone, go in, hunch on the couch.
Hey.
Love in her mouth. Yo. What was that really about? Then I got grown and start pulling it out.
Ooh,
don't get too nasty or don't get too graphic. Because you know I'm black and they want to see me in plastic.
Ooh.
See, that be tragic and dragic. That's what I'm coming with. I'm staying flipping and getting up on that money shit.
Uh-huh.
I came through and I'm whipping. I got a dummy bitch. Uh-huh. She be dummy thick. She taking dummy dick. Hey. She's a crash dummy. Uh-huh. She got that ass on her. Okay. And if you walk around, I swear you ain't gonna pass on her. Okay. She be thicker than the tension in the room. Uh-huh. With a big booty and two big old boobs. You might see me on the Channel 6 News. Just being a nigga, just doing what I do. Like breaking in the Foot Locker, steal the display shoe. Or get into it in the lunch line. That's what a nigga do. And they done caught me with some drugs on me. Hey, and then they say I had them guns on me. Hey, the judge don't wanna put no bun on me. Hey, he needs some info from my other homie. But ain't nobody gonna tell him shit.
That's right.
We just gonna be quiet and bun down on this shit. And go to court with the lawyer, beat the fucking charges. Hey. And then take the rest and buy two brand new Dodges. Like a Challenger or a motherfucking Charger. Yeah. I be riding like a motherfucking Dodger. Hey. I'm talking shit like a motherfucking Flodger. Hey. You better get off and go home, Roger. Hey. No, nigga, that ain't you. This the 85 South show and the vision coming true. Uh-huh. Right now, shit, we doing it behind the fence. Hey. Uh-huh. But give me a little time, I'll make it all make sense.
That's right.
Ain't no ring, bitch. We even bought the studio.
That's right.
And welcome back to the 85 South Show.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What you thought it was?
Yeah.
That's just all. I just thought about that shit.
You heard.
That shit
it,
just
bro.
Came up.
Right now.
I
was top
felt that in my spirit.
That was all right.
That's a hard one.
Yeah.
Man,
no
come
cap.
On, bro.
Let's
no
go.
Cap. Come on, man. Come on. Huh? All I'm coming no for. And 2023 is what's properly already owed to me.
Right.
Yeah, I'm coming for
round up.
Well, I know y'all coming strong in 2023. This studio's time. Impressive. I mean,
appreciate
y'all ain't seen it because y'all just see this, the backdrop and shit. But man, these gentlemen, this whole team that they got here, it's some shit. I'm having
man,
a
good time. This all like temporary shit. You like this?
I mean, man, what I respect is I'm seeing growth. I'm seeing evolution. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm seeing black entrepreneurship. I'm seeing black excellence.
That's why we brought you in here, man, because we named our tour the legendary.
Man, I appreciate it.
And nigga, you did some of the most ghetto legendary shit. Now, everybody, I could name off.
I told him over there. Friends. I told you over there. You the Black Forest Gump? There.
You always seem to land on the right place at the right time.
All glory to
on
God.
His feet and
amen.
In the right position.
Amen. Now, listen, and when it's all said and done, man, you going to have hit movies.
No cap.
Hit songs.
Hit TV shows.
Hit TV shows.
What's up?
Yeah. Nigga, I'm sure you done wrote a bunch of shit.
Facts.
Nigga, and this is the highest honor of all. This is how I wanted to introduce you to the 85 South Show.
Shit.
Nigga, you so cold. They let you play Black Michael Jackson. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on.
Indeed they did.
Hey, the man sung for Simba.
Yes, he did.
Come on, man.
Nah, man.
Yes, he sung for Simba.
Y'all not about to have me start crying in this
motherfucker.
Hey, man. That
this
means a
was
lot.
Thea's second oldest boy.
That's right, man. You remember, y'all remember Thea?
Thea! What? What?
That's right, man. That's right. Mm-hmm. We were only on for 9 episodes, but.
Nigga, them 9 episodes. That's when Brandy had braces. Mm-hmm.
Come on, man.
Brandy had braces. Yes,
Brandy.
She did.
Come on, man.
Bro, real observant.
No, I remember that. Because I remember when she got the Moesha, and I was like, I was worried about her.
That was early.
But she came out
on
time.
This before all that.
Okay.
And for all the people in D.C. age bracket.
Nobody look left, look right.
Yeah.
She can.
He did all that.
Spotlight.
Come on. Yeah. Come on. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Right.
Come on.
That's
we
right.
got 10 for me.
Come
on.
Nah, man.
Nah, man. I love y'all. Thank y'all so much. Hey, to everybody out there, too, even before we start talking. Hey, man, thank y'all, everybody. Seriously. Especially my community. You know what I'm saying? Everybody that I have kind of grown up with indirectly in some kind of way. You know, people that I randomly run into at a grocery store, at the airport or whatever, and people take time out of their day to stop and acknowledge you and your work. I know I'm not gonna get the opportunity to meet everybody individually out there. So I just wanted to take this opportunity on 85 South.
Yeah.
My favorite show.
Appreciate it.
I'm so honored to be here. So I want to take this opportunity on 85 South to just thank everybody out there for supporting my career, and especially my Black community, my brothers and my sisters, because throughout this whole journey, y'all have stood by me, man, and supported me, even when I've probably done some films that were bullshit. But my community my community has always stood up for me and been down for me. So thank y'all, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Jason Weaver
in the trap with us. Come on, man. Let's take it from the top, bro. How did all of this come about? How did you start? What was your introduction to the game?
Man.
When did your people recognize your talent?
You know what? My talent was recognized. I've always had a passion. You know, for people that don't know, I'm born and raised in Chicago.
Chi-town.
Chi-town all day. You know, I've always had a passion for the arts. I come from a musical family. My mother started off singing jingles and stuff like that in the jingle industry back in the in the 80s, like late 70s and 80s, the jingle business, especially for Black performers.
What was her number one? Her biggest jingle?
Don't tell her you know some of those jingles.
Please,
we go YouTube.
If the tribute to Dr. King, if we could light a candle, it was something that McDonald's did.
I know what you're
talking
about.
It was their main campaign every year. And that was actually my first recording session. I was four. I was on the backgrounds on that record. And that was my first recording session at Chicago Recording Company on Ohio Street. And I was a little kid, and my mother sang the lead on that. So that's what I came up under. Like, you know, my cousin Tricky, shout out to my cousin Tricky Stewart. People may know his work from, like, Beyonce with Single Ladies to the new one, what is it? Something My Soul?
My
Soul.
Break My Soul.
Sorry,
your cousin produced that?
Yeah, my cousin produced and co-wrote that record with Dream. Shout out to Dream.
Dream on that motherfucker too?
Dream wrote that shit and the
That boy Carl.
And the other one, the other hit that she got out. Shout out to shout out to Dream. I mean, all those guys, like, you know, is my family. Tricky's my blood, but Dream's an extended part of my family. But yeah, I come from a musical background, and so I just grew up looking at movies, like looking at E.T. and seeing Drew Barrymore and all them like little kids acting. And it just, it was fascinating to me. And I expressed to my mom, I was like, you know what, I think I wanna do that. I wanna try that. And just, you know, based on a relationship she had been able to develop over that period of time of being in the jingle industry, it was kind of natural for me to start auditioning for commercials and stuff like that. Because Chicago in the 80s was a hub for that. Like, all of the ad campaigns were created on Madison Avenue in New York, but the music and the energy that would drive people to buy the products, it was coming from Black creators, producers, songwriters, musicians. Shout out to Burrell, Burrell Communications. For people that don't know that history, you can look it up, you can Google it, but Tom Burrell and Burrell Communications was the first major Black advertising firm in the country, and it was based in Chicago.
Is that what Boomerang based off of?
It might be.
Loosely?
It might be loosely based off of.
I mean, just the company, not the story.
It possibly could be, because they were the only Black advertisement firm. So everybody in Chicago that was a singer, actor, or whatever, we all got our start through Burrell Communications doing commercials and jingles. That's how it happened.
So shout out to Burrell.
And I definitely got to make sure I get them props, because they don't get enough props. It's firms like that to where performers like myself and others, we stood on their shoulders, man, to where we could get our opportunity, where we could springboard and have careers. Right. And they don't get the credit that they rightfully deserve, because they were just doing their job. But now I'm in a position where I can give them their flowers. Like, I do want to tell them thank you, like, publicly. I hope y'all see this, so y'all know that people from the city that took advantage of the opportunities that y'all provided, especially young Black kids, like, we still here. So, man, thank you. Yeah. Real shit. And so, and then from there, I started auditioning for, you know, for films and stuff like that. But that,
what was
that
your first film?
The Long Walk Home with Whoopi Goldberg, Sissy Spacek.
That's how you jump out the gate in your first film with a motherfucker.
That's one. That's like Tony. That's like 91.
A EGOT.
Yeah, that was 89.
Okay,
damn.
That was 89, because that's when Do the Right Thing and come out, and we had all gone to the theater and see that.
That shit was hard.
And yeah, we shot that in Montgomery, Alabama. It was a period piece. It talked about the two families during the start of the civil rights movement and the Montgomery bus boycott. And it was a phenomenal film to be a part of because I got to work with Whoopi, got to work with Sissy Spacek, and I got to do a period piece that meant something, you know, to our story, our particular struggle. And so I got a chance to like even meet people. You know how you have background actors right. and extras on set and stuff. So usually a lot of those people that's on set that's in these movies, they don't have a connection to the story that we telling.
Right.
With this film, it was actually women that were there, women and men that were there who were older, but they marched. They were doing the sit-ins. They were, you know, part of the Freedom Riders. So it was like I was getting the experience of being on set and training as an actor, but I was learning more about who I was, like embracing my identity more as a young black boy that eventually is gonna come into the world as a black man. So it was like this, my first experience in film was just the shit, man.
Yeah,
it was incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible.
That's a hell of a way to come
good.
Hey, man. All right. Yeah. Gotta get clap on that one.
God's been good.
What would you say you start seeing the early success in first, the music or the acting?
The acting. And it was after...
That's what I was saying. Me and DC, we always talk about this. How did you parlay, since you say you got the acting first, how did you parlay and like bring the music around to your acting?
I did it. It like, all those opportunities... as it relates to me doing music were like organic opportunities and blessings that were just brought into my life through God, because there was a time, and see, it's different for you now, and I love that, because it's guys like yourself who are ambidextrous in that regard, right. who have a multi-skill set, like
it's
myself.
Still hard.
But man, it was so much harder,
right?
Because you had people on the music end who were trying to discredit you and saying, well, you're not really a singer because you're not devoting all of your time to this, right? But then you had people in the film world who weren't really respecting what you were doing in music because they were going, well, you can make so much more money over here. Why do you give a fuck about that? Like, you just want to be a star and be on stage. And so I was always in this weird position of trying to balance myself within that and like constantly trying to prove myself.
Right.
And even as like a young performer, you know, you already going through adolescence and like your body switching up, your voice is changing. Well, mine didn't, but you know, in most cases your voice changed. So you deal with all these, you know, different insecurities, you know, coupled with the pressure of trying to maintain a career in both of these different genres of entertainment.
Right.
But again, I give God the credit for that and my mother, because no matter what, it was like, she always supported me. So anytime that I would doubt myself or I get to that point where I get discouraged or disheartened, she reminded me of who I was, like, in our legacy and the family that we come from. And also reminded me, too, that, you know, me being in the business, that doesn't define who I am.
Right.
That's just a part of who I am.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I was able to, in my mind, put it all together and find a way to still be able to be constructive and, like, and be productive and do my thing without losing myself in the process.
What was that first track like when you finally displayed it and they started taking you serious as both?
It was the Chingy record. No, yeah, it was a Chingy record.
I wanted to say the Chingy, but I feel like it was something before that.
Nah, it was the Chingy record because, okay, let me keep it real. In Chicago, my city know what the fuck I'm
That's
about.
It was a record that they played and they knew it was you,
yeah,
and it got...
Love Ambition.
Right.
It was Love Ambition, produced by Keith Crouch and written by Rahsaan Patterson and Uncle Kipper. Shout out to those guys, Kipper Jones. And that record was released during my tenure with Motown, but it didn't reach national acclaim or success.
10 years?
No, 10 years.
Oh, 10 years. Oh,
yeah,
okay, my bad. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
But
like, nigga,
you was on Motown for 10 years.
Like,
No, I wasn't on it that long.
Okay.
But what ended up happening is that the record didn't really take off on a national level. But Chicago, because it was a Steppers record.
Right.
And it had that groove to it. And in the city, like, we support our own. We may look crazy sometimes on the news, like, but when it all boils down to it, Chicago, we support our own. So when that record came out, it was like radio kind of got behind it, but it was the people that got behind it. And so when you hear Chicagoans talk about Love Ambition, that's a very personal record for us.
Mm-hmm.
Because that
especially
was
with the Stepper crowd. I know
that.
Yeah,
man. And that was like my coming out party as an artist. And at that time, Chicago was the only city with the exception of like New Orleans, maybe a couple others, that really embraced me, man, and made me feel confident in my journey moving forward.
That'd be hard. We ought to throw a steppers ball.
Y'all should. That will be hard.
That should be hard.
You know how to step?
There's a lot of Chicago transplant down here.
Talking about like a stepper ball. Like
you know how to step? You just gonna host it?
We can have the people who want to come, like we can come and do like some sessions with like a stepper coach.
Yeah.
Oh, you gonna get them together.
But you can only come.
You gonna get them together?
You gotta bring your own girl.
Don't say y'all gonna do that shit.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all ain't gonna do it.
Of course.
You
gotta bring your own.
Y'all got Chicago looking at this right now. And then we'll talk about your ass.
What you talking about?
The dance is stepping where you got a partner.
Yeah, we ain't talking about stepping.
I thought you talking about like, hey,
no. That just goes to show how old my ass is. Nah,
I need to get done.
Like step in the name of love.
Yeah, step in the name of love.
Okay, Tuesday. Okay.
So that's a big thing.
But you gotta be dressed alike and you gotta have your own partner. Like we're not letting no singles in.
You gotta have a routine.
Yeah,
it's real classy.
A routine.
It's something that you do with your lady. You have a nice evening out. Y'all had a little matching suits on. You go dance and step. You got your fly gaiters on. That's real Chicago shit.
Yeah, real
shout
Chicago.
Out to the crib.
Rest in peace, my nigga Skull Bubba, man. Yeah. Like, I wanted you to talk about Chicago a little bit because, like you said, it's so much negative press out there, bro.
Talk
about
that
your
was,
experience.
Yeah.
Right. As a Chicagoan, some of the, you know, like, nigga, put on for the city,
man,
basically, right now. Let motherfuckers know from somebody who really from there.
Let me tell y'all something, man. Chicago, in my opinion, is the most beautiful city on the planet. And it's not just the city landscape and all of that. It's really the people. And especially the black community that exists there. You know, the families on the south side and the west side. That's what gives Chicago its identity. Chicago is a working class blue collar town. Filled with people that keep their head down, don't complain, they go to work every day, they support their families, and they try their best, you know what I'm saying, to get to different points in their life where they view as being successful. But they're unsung heroes, but they're not haters. If they see somebody else coming up and doing their thing, and especially if you're from the city, man, you'll get the support, you'll get the love, you know what I'm saying? And it won't be a thing where, you know, you have like a bad trip. I mean, look at the shit that's going on with Rob. Like, they won't let him go. Like, regardless of whatever, it's gonna be some folks still in Chicago that's gonna play Step in the Name of Love, regardless of whatever, however you feel about them, and that's your individual prerogative. But there are some people that are gonna continue to support his music and what he does because he's from the town. That being said, there is a lot of violence that happens. There is that gang culture, that gang element. But I think we are getting to a place as a people, well, I know collectively as black people all over this country and this world, we're getting to a place where we're understanding that that's so counterproductive and it's so putting us further behind the eight ball. It just doesn't make sense. But you're beginning to see now a lot of the young cats taking more of an initiative to speak out, to be more active in their communities, like G Herbo. You know what I'm saying? Like you see him in the neighborhood doing certain things. Shout out to Inglewood Barbie. You know what I'm saying? These are all people from the city, activists, my man Justin Morgan, people that are coming to the forefront now who want to be leaders. I sit on the board of directors for an organization called Hello Baby, which is geared towards keeping the black family nucleus intact. It's the headquarters is literally right on East 61st in St. Lawrence in the middle of the shit, like where FBG, BG Duck and all them is from, like where it go down. But there's a community center there that where we're promoting unity within the community, especially amongst the youth and with single mothers and single black fathers. So those of us who grew up in the city that know what it is and know how beautiful it is, we're trying our best to present a different narrative. And it's gonna take some time because mainstream media still wants to present a certain kind of story. But as long as you got guys like myself and especially people like Lena Waithe, who are really pushing the line.
Fuck you, talking about.
You know what I'm saying? With like telling a real story. Like what y'all see on the Shy, that's in Chicago, I know. I grew up going to cookouts, going to my grandmother's house, hanging out with my friends, going to Lim's Barbecue, going to Harold's Chicken, shit like that, going to Markham Skating Rink. Like, that's in Chicago, I know. Yeah, I knew some GDs, I knew some BDs, I knew some Latin Kings and all of that. But I didn't want to be a part of that, so I didn't get wrapped up in it. If you want to be a part of that, you can find what you're looking for. But if you cats like myself and many others that live there and that are part of that community who are looking for something better and looking to spread a different kind of message, man, we exist, man. Chicago is the shit, man. Y'all come see us, man. Don't come during the winter. You won't have a good time.
Hell right, no.
Right,
right.
Come during summertime, Shy, man. We'll show y'all a good time,
I had to learn that. I had to learn that the hard way. I went up there doing shows in the winter. And I was like, oh.
That's how they do us in the South.
I didn't know. I was just happy to get shows.
No, I was. The South get booked in the North when it get cold. In the winter.
Yeah, now I know. Now I know you say no, and then they come back and they hit you with the summer date, and that shit is amazing when you go up there, man. Yeah.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. The NBA Finals begin Thursday, June 6th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ABC.
During the summertime, when the weather gets hot, I can only imagine how much time you plan to spend outside with friends and family. Or on your couch with that AC blasting. AT&T 5G and home internet keeps you connected. Whether you're at home or on the go, you can stay connected to your loved ones and to your favorite things. Whether you're sharing pics from the best rooftops, video calling your friends from an outdoor concert, or streaming your favorite show, episode after episode after episode. Connect at home or on the move with AT&T 5G and home internet and create memories and more all summer long. AT&T 5G requires compatible plan and device. Coverage not available everywhere. Learn more at att.com/5G4U.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Dad deserves something really nice for Father's Day, but let's face it, we usually don't do it. Big gifts are for Mother's Day. Picking something up on the way is for Father's Day. Well, let's make Father's Day something this year with the Bartesian Cocktail Maker. It whips up over 60 premium cocktails on demand, each ready at the push of a button. And right now, you get $50 off the Bartesian Cocktail Maker when you buy one pack of Dad's favorite cocktail capsules. Dad will publicly love that you saved $50 on the countertop machine that crafts premium cocktails on demand. And he'll secretly love that you splurged on him for Father's Day with the gift of a Bartesian. Because the only thing that lets Dad know he's the world's number one dad better than a world's number one dad coffee mug is an artisan cocktail in his hand. Make Dad's Father's Day and Father's Day cocktails with all natural juices and bitters without making any mess at all. Visit bartesian.com/father to get $50 off the best premium cocktail maker for Dad at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
And so y'all tour too. Like y'all really be out, you know, with the people. So you can see how these different cities, like they flow and, you know, the chemistry and how they react to you. But Chicago is like one of them places. And I thought I saw, you posted something about Detroit like that. You was like, man, if they fuck with you.
They coming out.
They coming out, they fuck with you. Fact. Chicago the same.
Bro, that's why I be tough. We were on the road, that shit be amazing. It really be, it literally feel like we from 20 different cities.
We're like the country.
Like people like, ask us like, what's your favorite city? Like, man, I can't even describe it because it's like they in competition with each other. Like they gonna out love a motherfucker.
And they just love y'all, man.
That like, shit be crazy.
It's so beautiful. Like, and I know y'all probably hear that all the time, but man, it's really dope what y'all doing, man.
We appreciate it, fam.
Because you're giving people a platform, you know, where they can tell their stories and backstories. Like I saw the episode with Snoop.
Right.
Man, that was a great episode. And see, people don't get a chance to hear them Snoop stories like that, to hear the real
I can't believe
history.
How much stuff of that I hadn't heard. I'm sitting here, I watched it back, and I was still
I had to watch it back.
Man,
I can't believe Snoop ain't never met Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan gonna hear that shit and be like, man, somebody call this nigga.
Bro, Tupac was on death row for 8 months. That's it?
Yeah.
In my head, as a right, growing
that
up, until
like
he said,
years,
I said, bro, he was with them folk like 5 years.
Yeah.
He said, bro, I ain't know the nigga for like 8 months.
But it was so, they were so active because I was out in California during that time, during the East Coast, West Coast shit. And but it felt like it was going on forever.
Yeah, I'm sure it did.
Man, that shit was, that was something. Like, and especially a cat that wasn't from either one of those places, and you kind of in the middle box, go. Like, God damn, this shit is serious.
You had to learn all that shit.
Oh, yeah, and I stayed out the
I didn't know that's what they meant.
No, nigga, this is a true story. So we out for the Soul Train Awards. I'm on Motown.
Right.
This is when Andre Harrell was there. So he was putting forth like this whole new media blitz to kind of promote him coming over to Motown. So he had billboards and shit everywhere. Mm-hmm. And when the Soul Train Awards came to LA, he threw a big like Motown coming out party. Like, you know, this is my thing. I'm taking over the helm. Mm-hmm. And I would never forget it. It was in Sunset Plaza, that little strip on Sunset Boulevard. And it was a restaurant there where he had this party and it was kind of like open. So we in there, and mind you, I'm like 16 at the time. I shouldn't even been in that shit, but I was.
Right.
And I'm in there dancing with this chick or whatever.
Stepping,
doing my little thing. I think I was moonwalking. I was still playing my Michael Jackson shit. You know what I'm saying? So I'm dancing and shit. And all of a sudden, it was just this huge commotion. You just saw people kind of like fleeing and going to all these different parts of the club. So I'm looking around, I'm like, and I just see like a red Bentley pull up, and I think it was like a black Bentley, and like Shug and Pac jumped out of separate Bentleys, and they skirted past security and the whole nine. Security didn't even ask them what they were doing. They're searching or nothing. They breezed past security and they went around the party looking for like members of Bad Boy and looking for Andre and shit like that, because that was during that whole, that was at the beginning of the shit.
In the club looking for
And they left you in there?
Man, my right-handed guy. No, I saw this. I was in there with my cousin Kevin. Cousin Kevin Harrell. He was my guardian. He was traveling with me at the time. So we both in the spot hanging out and doing our thing, because it was a festive, it was the Soul Train Award.
Right. Yeah. What's going on?
It's supposed to be fun.
Man, them niggas came through there like.
It's supposed to be fun, man.
Yeah, it's supposed to be fun, but man, they came through on, like they were pushing the line.
What happened? Man.
Nah. I seen Andre, and Andre, I love you. God rest your soul, man. I saw Andre, because we were laughing about something maybe 5 minutes prior to that.
Right.
But man, when them niggas came through, I didn't see Andre after that. Took him back to New York. And I was like, man, Dre, where'd you go? He was like, man, I ain't fucking around with niggas. He was like, man, I was out. But it was one of those situations where I saw all of that like up close and personal, like seeing Pac and Suge real aggressive out in the LA streets with all of Death Row, like all of Compton outside, pushing the line. It was something to see. But then, it was also cool to see Bad Boy and what they were doing. They had such a, you know, an interesting energy. Like, you know, shout out to Slim Pickens, all the cats in the Super Mario, all the cats in the street team where they would have the picket signs and they'd be going up and down, you know, streets in New York, like a real movement. Mm-hmm. Like how y'all got y'all's jackets.
Right.
It was reminiscent when I saw that, and that's why I was smiling to myself inside. Because I've seen that before. Right. I saw that with Bad Boy. And that energy and that presence that y'all have just being young, black, and brilliant and creative and pushing the line. Right. Like, it was that energy I saw too early on. So I've been able to see quite a bit, man.
You grew up in the industry, but like me and Clayton was talking about earlier, bro, you got to tell us about your experience working on Thea, bro. Nine episodes, but this shit gonna live. Like you said, that's one of them ones that the black community ain't gonna never forget about.
Yeah, man, Thea was a, I gotta say, that was a great show personally for me to be a part of. I won't get too heavy into it. There was a lot of behind the scenes drama that went on, not to rehash, between like Thea and Brandy. There was like a somewhat of a negative undertone as far as that's concerned. But the experience of, for me personally, working at Universal Studios, working on the back lot, you know, being on the same lot with fucking Martin, where me and Brandy would walk down to the Martin set, like on our lunch break, and watch them rehearse. To being able to like freely, you know, walk up to Universal Studios and get on the amusement rides.
Hold on, man, y'all watch Martin rehearsals?
Right. Real talk, man. We
and go ride.
Me and Brandy, and y'all can ask her this. Like,
when the fuck we gonna ask Brandy?
She'll come on.
I hope so.
Brandy'll come on. Come on, Brandy. Come on.
I would love to see Brandy.
Come on, man.
But what happened was we would have our lunch breaks, and the Martin set, like, you would come out of stage 5. I think that was our stage, and you could make a right and walk maybe like what would be equivalent of like a half a block, and it was Martin's stage. And then we would just walk in because we were the only other black show on the lot, so we all knew we was there together. Right. And they never hated on us. Like, they would let us, you know, Martin, Tisha, Tommy, God rest his soul, Carl, they would see us walk in because we all kids.
Right.
And they'd be like, man, y'all go up in the stands and, man, y'all chill out.
Yeah.
And so we would see the Martin show like 2 weeks before that shit would come out. So I would be calling niggas back home like, man, wait till y'all see this shit that happened. They'd be like, how you know that? I'd be like, nigga, because I know.
Right.
But watch this shit when Martin say this. Let me
right.
So I was seeing, you know, all of that stuff growing up. And me and Brandy would, you know, walk back to set. And I can't speak for her, but for myself, I would apply the things that I would learn watching them. Subtle nuances, little things. It wasn't like jokes. It was a facial expression. It was a mannerism. It was the letting the joke live. Whoever the, you know, learning that chemistry of letting your co-star have his or her moment, learning that space that in comedy, which we all know, there's a
timing.
There's timing. It's a dance.
Right.
And especially when you work on, and it's a beat.
Right.
So I was learning all of that. That was my college, man, was sitting there and watching, you know, them do their thing. And they were so gracious. I met Eddie Murphy there too when we did Thea. He was doing Beverly Hills Cop 3 on Universal.
Shit.
That's cool.
And
that's
me and Brandy walked over there during our lunch break.
Y'all got adventures, boy.
Walking around, right, man. And they go to
hey, I know the PA was like, do we have eyes on Brandy?
Do we have eyes on Jason? They would know where we would be going because anything that was black that would pop up at Universal.
Oh, they knew. They knew.
They like, and they especially, knew. You saw Eddie Murphy and Martin.
Right.
And,
right.
Come on, man. That's
right.
Mount Olympus, a black
right.
starter.
Right, right.
So, nah, we going over there to study and, you know,
we know where they are.
And Eddie was so nice. He signed, man, I asked that nigga to sign 6 things. I just
man, sign this for my best friend. Me and my teacher wanted, but
he signed it. He asked all our questions. And, you know, for me, that was a lasting impression, man. That taught me how to be gracious.
Thanks.
Like, with interacting with your fans and interacting with people who are admirers of your work. Like, those guys taught me how to be a star.
Right.
Because they were like, they superstars. Right. And they still were taking the time to, like, so, man, you know, what you want to do? Well, how y'all like filming over there? Oh, yeah, okay. And, you know, asking little stupid shit, but, yeah, man, they were cool.
Hey, your little brother on Thea, though?
Huh?
Your little brother?
Yeah. Oh, you talking about his fade.
He had the worst haircut in black TV history.
That might have been.
That was one of the top three worst.
Might have been.
They still talk about your haircut, man. You ain't never going to be able to live that down.
He had no choice in that. He did not choose that as a child.
Like his biological father had a lot to do with that.
No, he didn't.
He said
something. That was the issue.
He was mad. He had to be.
His mom, I'm sorry, Brittany, but I got to tell the truth because they doing you dirty out here. No, Brittany didn't want his hair cut like that. His mom was cutting his hair like that.
Oh.
You cannot let your mama cut your
hair,
man.
And Brittany's dad, he was a real one. He was a nice guy, but you know, he's like one of those quiet guys, like a quiet husband.
You shouldn't let me cut his hair.
You would just see him looking at his boy. And you should see him laughing inside to himself like, all right.
Now, how the hell you get on Smart Guy? Because first of all, Taj is goddamn light skin.
Yeah.
The other nigga is light skin.
Yeah.
The daddy is light skin. Yeah. And you a dark skin.
He wasn't.
But I was like, how in the hell?
That happens. That happens.
You know, as a kid,
family.
I'm sitting there like, oh, yeah. Fuck?
Now, I'm going to keep it real with you, DC. Man, that audition was flawless, bro.
That's because one of the ones where you just knew you
real
knew.
Real no, that audition. Was that. You killed that audition.
You killed the brother. Everybody wanted a big brother like you. Everybody.
Yeah. I appreciate it. No, and that, I think that was the thing.
I it feel like that shit you learned from Martin. Well, you
hey, bro.
Hey, we was tuned in, bro. Absolutely. I ain't gonna hold you.
That's why shout out to Omar Gooden, too. Like, we would, after work, we would study other sitcoms and other performers.
It's your old.
So, you know, we would study Jamie. And this is the work we were doing after work, because we would go home,
right.
We order pizza, smoke a little something,
right.
Chill out, you know what I'm saying? And then we'd be like, man, let's look at what so-and-so and them doing. So we turn on their show, we study, be like, we gonna do that shit better next week. Right. We gonna flip it like this. So me and Omar was like doing that all the time. You know, just playing with the craft.
Right.
Yeah.
Like just trying to figure out how to be better. You know what I'm saying? Like how you got young niggas that work on their jump shot. Right.
Yeah,
work on
their
layup, work on their left hand. Like that's what me and Omar would do every day after work. We would just sit down and we look at shows and we look at different performers. And we would just find those different things that maybe weren't in your face,
right?
But they were subtle things that we knew that we could play on and make them our own.
Right.
Probably then, like the best big brother I ever seen growing up.
Good looking.
It was like, okay, you got your little brother finna come to school with you.
Yeah.
Like he 10, but it can't fuck up my cool.
Yeah.
But how can I embrace my 10-year-old little brother? Fuck it. Not only that, is he catching up to me? Or is it was like it was a lot of shit as a child that y'all taught us as kids. Like, and then it was black fatherhood.
Yeah.
Black parenting.
Man, we didn't know, DC, man, the kind of example that we were setting, man. Just keeping it all the way 100, like, we were just having fun. And I think for me and Omar in particular, we wanted to show young black kids who we really were versus, like, how sitcom TV would try to portray us a lot of times, like, hokey and corny or, you know, having just some weird shit that they were saying in the lines. We'd be like, how the fuck they get away with saying that?
Right.
So it was like, we were the kids where if they gave us a line and we knew that shit wasn't gonna fly in the community, we'd be like, I'm not saying it.
Right.
Like,
right.
I'm not saying that, bro. Like, okay, you wanna get that kind of joke across? Why don't we say it like this?
Yeah.
And I'll give them credit. Shout out to Danny Kalis, the creator of the show. Mm-hmm. He listened to us.
Yeah.
Like, even when it came down to wardrobe, I was like, man, ain't no young black kid walking around wearing them shits on their feet.
Yeah.
I was like, yo, I need some J's, man.
That's
some
pro kids.
I would be calling up to Nike.
Because they didn't want you to have the little logo and all that
shit. They wouldn't want us to have logos on anything.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want to pay for it.
Right.
So they'd be like, nah,
but they don't
we
make you pay for that.
Yeah, and I'd be like,
they don't
but
do
I'd
that.
Be like, yo, man, who cares? Like, we got to be cool.
Right.
So, like, I need the Iversons.
Right.
Yeah.
I need them before everybody else has them on the street, because I guarantee you.
Let's do an episode. How about this? Let's do an episode. He needs the Iversons.
Then they become
one.
For
what change? Put them in British Knights.
But it was ideas like that that we were tossing around.
But yeah.
And being that Iverson was such like a controversial figure in sports at that time, mm-hmm. they were like, okay, you can wear the shoes. We just don't want to do a lot of bigging up on that. You know, we don't want to go too hip hop because we were introducing vernacular and slang. We were bringing all of that to the show, but it was still a Disney show.
Yeah. Right.
So we just had to find the balance. But thankfully, man, like, you know, we had producers. Shout out to Suzanne DePass, who was my former manager. Suzanne DePass. Let me give her credit right now, because she's another one that doesn't get enough credit. some of y'all's favorite shows from the Jacksons miniseries, the Jacksons and American Dream.
Bro, you gotta tell me about that.
Sister.
Come on.
Smart Guy.
Come on.
I'm sure there are a few more after that. But Suzanne DePash, y'all, is a brilliant black woman who's been in this industry since the Motown days, since the 60s. Mm-hmm. She was the one that discovered Michael Jackson and Jackson 5. Mm. We have those shows right now that everybody can go back and look at because of her. She was the one that kicked open the door for T and Tamera and Taj and the whole Maury family. She was the one that kicked open the door for me. Hey, Suzanne, thank you. I'm just telling the people because they need to know your name. There was a black woman that blazed that trail.
What line, T? How the hell?
That was after the Jackson miniseries.
Go to the Jacksons first.
Go to Jackson and leave it right in the goddamn.
To play black Michael Jackson.
It was an honor, but again, that was another situation when we talk about the example of music where God presented that opportunity.
Amen.
Because, and this just to just bring up the thing about Lion King, and I'll go back to the Jacksons. How I got that was, I was shooting the scene, the live scene of Who's Loving You. And that particular day, we had already pre-recorded it. And all I had to do was just sing with the track. But for some odd reason that day, sound was down and I had to sing that shit live, like all day long. So, man, it was like maybe after like the fourth setup shot, I'm kind of exhausted vocally, but I'm like really warmed up. So I'm belting this shit out.
Right.
And we on stage and the lights are shining our way, so we don't see who's out in the audience. We just kind of see the cameras on the dolly, but we don't see like who's out there.
Right.
So we get through with the day, we get through with that scene, we moving on. Me and my mom was walking back to the trailer and she was like, yo, you know who just came up to me and asked me about you? I was like, who, ma? She's like, Elton John. Elton John was just here. He's saying he's doing some kind of movie with Disney. He is saying that you'd be perfect for it. I'm like, Elton John, the Benny and the Jets. I'm like, that guy. And I'm sorry, Sir Elton, but I really wasn't into Elton John like that back then. I was a kid, you know what I'm saying?
Right, so, right.
I mean, I appreciate his work. Now, I love Elton John, and especially what he did for me, but you know.
Right. but as a kid,
shit was amazing.
As a child, I didn't know.
Right.
Cool.
But the shit he did back, for me. She said, he wants you to audition for this singing role in this new animated thing that they're doing for Disney called The Lion King.
Ooh, she's just sound.
And I was just like, oh, okay, cool. Well, let's do it.
Right.
So I think 2 days later, we wrapped the Jacksons, and then Disney had took over everything from that point on, like our hotel and everything. Right. And so I'll never forget, man, like the day after we wrapped, I went down to Burbank at the Disney recording studios. That was another song I sang down maybe like 3 or 4 times. They had cameras set. That's what I vividly remember. They had cameras set up like this in the vocal booth. And they were just telling me, they was like, be as animated as you can. Like if you're just singing it to the world. So any movements you want to do, like even if you're not on the mic, just move around. Because we're going to put all of that in a character. So I'm like, huh? Like, that don't even make any sense. But I did it anyway.
Right.
So there's actually footage that I saw online where they showed me performing the song in the studio that day, and that was one of the cameras. And so a lot of that stuff that you see with Simba in the animation was stuff that I was doing.
You ain't jump on no giraffe.
I ain't jump on no giraffe. I ain't jump on no giraffe. You stupid. But it's a lot of movement.
Yeah.
Right.
But that shit hard though, that's crazy, cause that what?
Man, bro.
Cause that was before the motion capture shit, really. Yeah, this is real animation, so they had
like
to
like drawing.
No, so they really
shit.
Make the
man, that's crazy.
Asking you to say, okay, what would the character look like?
Right.
Okay, the right. You said, everybody look like. Did you catch
that?
Yeah.
And you did that shit.
And the animators, the artists, it was three or four of them. And they were in the control room drawing that shit. And when I got
what if they would have
the
punched in like, yeah, Jay, we're gonna steal your whole sauce on this one, bro.
No, but it was cool because when I saw what was going on, and then I got really excited, and this is a true story. After I sang the song, the producers were looking at each other and they were like whispering to each other, like, man. So I'm looking, they like, hey, so would you be able to stay in Los Angeles for a little bit longer?
Hell yeah.
I was like, yeah, sure. Cause I really didn't want to go home. I'm just gonna go back to school.
So I was like, yeah, sure, you know, I'll stick around. They were like, well, reason why we want you to stick around because we think we may want you to do the voice of this character. Like, you're perfect for Simba. So I'm like, oh, shit, like, that sounds kind of big. Like, okay. Man, like 15 minutes later, business affairs from Disney had called back and they had just closed their deal with Jonathan Taylor Thomas. So the deal had been finalized and closed, but if they would have waited, if his agent would have waited another 2 hours to close that deal, I would have had that role.
Ooh.
But, hold on, so wait a minute. So it wasn't your voice.
No,
you just sing it.
I was the singer voice.
He was the singer voice.
I was just the actual voice.
The actor was Tool Time. He was on,
Who I've met Jonathan and hung out with him on a couple different occasions because Home Improvement, their soundstage on Disney, was next to Smart Guy. So, like, the voice of Simba was right there, and then the singing voice of Simba was on the next soundstage.
That's crazy, man.
That's what happened. And then when that came out, you know, people didn't know that it was a black kid behind that voice. Right. And I wasn't really tripping on it because I knew that I was a part of it anyway, right. And nobody could take that away from me. Right. So,
but if we knew you were black, it's possible.
But that just goes to show you, everything is supposed to happen when it's supposed to happen, when God wants it to happen. Because when it was finally revealed who the voice, the singing was behind it, the singing voice behind it, I think it was more impactful at that time, especially when the community was made more aware of it, because this is a time, this is a black renaissance that we're in now. Right. And especially here in Atlanta, and you're seeing so many people emerge or come to the forefront that you didn't know were a part of these iconic projects. I mean, it just seemed like it was kind of like a snowball effect, you know, of all this information coming out that our people could learn and be aware of. So I don't regret it. Like, you know, my whole journey in this industry, good, bad, or ugly, man, the journey has just been absolutely incredible. I feel like, you know, we still got a lot more left to do. But, man, what God has taken me thus far, man, it's just been nothing short of amazing, especially a kid coming from Chicago. Like, there's not too many of us that get opportunities like that. You know what I mean?
Disney, keep you a check, man.
But how you get into ATL? Because I've been wearing these skates this whole goddamn
You ain't do the American Dream shit.
Hold on. And then we'll go into ATL.
All right, come on.
Because I'm going to say, too.
That's why you want to skate.
And I hope they get it together like Warner Brothers. Man, y'all need to stop playing. Let's do an ATL, too.
Come on, man.
What we doing?
Hey, Dallas.
Stop playing.
Man, we got to figure this out, man.
He was with Jermaine Dupri last night in the game.
Oh, yeah. Man, they get everywhere together. No, so, man, we got to do ATL, too. But anyway, the Jacksons miniseries, how that came about, real quick, my cousin Lainey Stewart, another successful music producer, multi-platinum music producer, was being managed by Suzanne DePass at that time. And he was working with, like, Aaron Hall and Shante Moore and Keith Washington. It's real old school R&B. They were all coming up to Chicago working in his studio. And so one of Suzanne's representatives came up to Chicago from L.A., and I was there at the studio because that's when I first started songwriting. That's when me and Tricky were, like, first training him as a producer and me as a songwriter. And I was, like, 11 years old. And Ruth Carson, that's her name, she would come to the studio, and every time she'd see me, she'd be like, yo, who's that little guy? Like, he's always singing, he's always dancing, like, because I don't know if y'all know this, but we about to do this biopic about Michael Jackson and his family, and he need to audition for that shit. Like, I'm gonna tell Suzanne that he need to audition for that shit. So I was like, man, whatever. Out of all the kids that could play Michael Jackson, they gonna pick me? That's what I'm thinking. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, man, whatever. She's just talking. Sure enough, like, I get a call from my agent. I had a local agent at the time, Elizabeth Geddes in Chicago. Shout out to Elizabeth. She called me and said, yo, the casting director from The Jacksons and American Dream want you to audition and blase blah. So come down here to the office. This is when you still had to actually go to someone's office. They put you on videotape. They have to FedEx the tape out. It was like a whole fucking process. You know what I'm saying? So I go to go audition. Maybe about 2 weeks later, ABC and the producers called back and said they want to fly me out to LA for a producer's callback. Go out to LA,
and here's some other real shit. The minute I was supposed to audition for the Jackson Family, because even when you got to L.A., there was a round of audition. There was like three rounds of audition that you had to go through before you got to audition for the actual Jackson Family. Mm. So I had to go through that gauntlet of just like stuff to finally make it to audition in front of them. And so when I finally got there, there was an assistant casting director who I guess that day had just been having a shitty day, and right. She was just over it. And so she was just passing sides out to the kids that were left. And so she wasn't taking into consideration the kids who had been told who they were specifically auditioning for. So she had handed me some sides for like Randy or some shit. Like, sorry, Randy, and there's no offense to you.
But it was like, Randy Jackson. Yeah. He was telling me,
hey, baby, hey, hold on, baby.
Nah, it was two pages of dialogue,
yeah.
And I was
trying to get three callbacks for Michael.
Yeah, I was like, nah, I'm here to do Michael, and so I'm saying that in my mind,
right.
But I'm scared.
You gotta say it out loud.
Right, I'm scared.
Excuse me.
So. Not real shit.
He taking it from
that. No, 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 no. He's how
we go.
I started the Randy shit.
No.
And there was a kid that came out of, I'm about to go in. There was a kid that came out, and I guess he had a horrible audition.
No.
And he threw his sides in the garbage can next to me. And I'm on a couch like this, name it a Mike sides. So I took him up out of the garbage can, and I just started reviewing him real quick, trying to get reacquainted with the dialogue. And I just did like a quick jam crash course. And then they called my name.
Mm.
And I went in and I said the lines, and that was cool. But then that's when they started asking me to sing. And I was so, like, me and my mother rehearsed those routines so much. Man, I could have did that shit in my sleep. And it was just like, and I'll never forget, I knew I kind of had the part, sort of, when I saw Mrs. Jackson smiling at me, and she had looked over at the director and she was like, he's good. And so I was like, okay, cool. But I didn't get the part that day. They put me on the red eye, me and my mother, back to Chicago.
Shit.
And we was back in Illinois, and I waited maybe about 5 months because Michael was on tour. And then Michael had finally seen the tape, and he made the decision to hire me for the role. And that's how I got.
Salute to Mike.
Shout out to Mike.
So Mike had to
make the final decision. All three actors that played him, the young one, the middle one, which was me, and my man Wiley Draper, God rest Wiley soul, who was Atlanta native, who was from here in Atlanta. He picked us. Like, we were the ones that Michael personally chose. And so, you know, all we knew we had to do was when we got on set, we had to live up to his expectations, because we were just on it like, man, if Michael sees something, then it's like, we gotta be on our shit. And we worked hard. I worked 7 days a week on that shit, willingly, voluntarily. Let me make this clear. We technically only worked 5 days a week, but the cast, we all would get together on Saturday and Sunday and rehearse.
Get it together.
Like every weekend, no matter what. Right. And I'm talking about 5-6 hours of straight dance rehearsal in front of a mirror in the conference room at the hotel we were staying at. And Bumper Robinson was the one who orchestrated. Shout out to Bumper. But he was like, yo, man, we about to be portraying the Jackson Family. Like, this is black royalty. We cannot fuck this up.
At all. Right.
It's like, we cannot fuck this up. So everybody, like, be on your shit, vocalize every day, have your shit together. And but we were on point. By the time that came out, when we looked back on the work that we did, it made sense. Those rehearsals and everything, it made sense.
That's the one that held up.
Man, thank you, man.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. The NBA Finals begin Thursday, June 6th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ABC.
During the summertime, when the weather gets hot, I can only imagine how much time you plan to spend outside with friends and family. Or on your couch with that AC blasting. AT&T 5G and home internet keeps you connected, whether you're at home or on the go, so you can stay connected to your loved ones and to your favorite things. Whether you're sharing pics from the best rooftops, video calling your friends from an outdoor concert, or streaming your favorite show episode after episode after episode. So, connect at home or on the move with AT&T 5G and home internet and create memories and more all summer long. AT&T 5G requires compatible plan and device. Coverage not available everywhere. Learn more at att.com/5G for you.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Dad deserves something really nice for Father's Day, but let's face it, we usually don't do it. Big gifts are for Mother's Day. Picking something up on the way is for Father's Day. Well, let's make Father's Day something this year with the Bartesian Cocktail Maker. It whips up over 60 premium cocktails on demand, each ready at the push of a button. And right now, you get $50 off the Bartesian Cocktail Maker when you buy one pack of Dad's favorite cocktail capsules. Dad will publicly love that you saved $50 on the countertop machine that crafts premium cocktails on demand. And he'll secretly love that you splurged on him for Father's Day with the gift of a Bartesian. Because the only thing that lets Dad know he's the world's number one dad better than a world's number one dad coffee mug is an artisan cocktail in his hand. Make Dad's Father's Day and Father's Day cocktails with all natural juices and bitters without making any mess at all. Visit bartesian.com/father to get $50 off the best premium cocktail maker for Dad at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Man, I appreciate y'all. Like, real shit, like, I, you know, that means a lot to me, because I've been in this business a long time, and I think you guys know from being in the industry for the amount of time that you all have been in, you all are vets as well, you can kind of get a little jaded, man, because you go through so much shit, you know what I'm saying, leading up to whatever that opportunity is that takes you into your next chapter of life and your career. And so when you get the opportunity to meet with your peers, to build with your peers, and they express to you how much they appreciate your work, and that they see you, that means a lot to me, man. Because,
yeah, bro,
like, real
on,
shit,
fam.
Go, when we be working, go. I would be thinking about y'all. Probably, yeah. I'm just spitting your face. But I would be thinking about y'all. I'd be thinking about who's the next generation, like, coming up after us. What kind of example are we setting? Like, what are we saying? Because I want kids to come up after us knowing that they can do it. But, like, man, we got a real responsibility. So now to have this opportunity to meet y'all, and to build with y'all, and to see y'all exceed and pass what we've done. Because honestly, looking this whole situation over here, man, this is taking whatever groundwork and foundation that we laid as young Black performers, man, y'all taking this shit to the next level and having ownership in what it is that y'all doing. So, like, man,
but even for icing on the cake, is this platform, we cherish it because we get to sit here and have people that we're fans of, like, just to see that you say that, it's like, but still, we had to watch y'all in order for us to know what the blueprint was like for us anyway. You see what I'm saying? And for us to been doing it for the amount of time that we've doing it, and for us to even have people like you to come on and just hear how we make you feel, we be really be like, nigga, you heard what the nigga said?
Right,
you know what
right,
I'm saying? Like,
right,
we be on the phone like, you heard what the nigga said?
Yeah.
But we had to keep our composure, but we love this job so much because it allows us to engage with the people that inspired us, and we get and y'all get to kick it, and be chilling, and we
and
be like,
no, and I'm gonna say this too, man. You one of them people that need to be celebrated more, man. I feel like a lot of times, just in our community, a lot of times everything we celebrate is the negative and the worst of the shit. They celebrate the fall off. They celebrate how a nigga fell off.
Right.
They
want
to do how to what happened to the shit.
Right.
But talk about the motherfuckers that's still here. Talk about the motherfuckers.
This is our
history. I feel like it's more the game from somebody who did good business and did continually succeed at their craft than looking at the tragedy and travesty shit.
No, I appreciate that.
So,
thank you for saying that. Because there are a lot of us, man, who have been able to maintain careers without, like, you know, and what we discussed earlier, we all human beings.
Yeah.
We've all had our shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But we've been really, really blessed in a way where the mistakes that we've made that have helped us grow as men, we've been able to do that in private, like, without, you know, having social media and, you know, TMZ and people like that on your back, where you can make your mistakes as a human being and grow and evolve. So I was even blessed with that as well, where, you know, my mother created a certain type of balance in my life, where when work was over in Los Angeles, and we'd be back on a plane, I'd be right back in the neighborhood, like interacting with my friends, going to school, going to the grocery store,
saying
what's up
life.
To my neighbor, having a real life, and to where I could see what my neighbors were going through in their everyday lives, whatever struggles that they may have had.
Mm-hmm.
And then that would allow me to look back and go, man, I'm really blessed, man. Like, like, man, I'm getting on a fucking plane tomorrow to go to a place that, man, I never thought I'd go to. To do make-believe.
Where they make fucking TV at. That shit will blow your mind,
man. And it blew my mind, man. It's been such just a fucking blessing, man. I'm just grateful, man. Just grateful to God for everything. Grateful for the support from the community. I can't stress that enough, because like what you said, we live in a time where, you know, people kind of find joy in your pain or the struggles that you go through. But I've just been really, really blessed where, with our community in particular, it's all been about celebrating and acknowledging the work that I've done and supporting me and, like, letting me know on the street or letting me know on social media, hey, man, keep doing your thing.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? Like, black men coming up to me, like, especially with the shy, like, with the show on and all of that, with the character that I'm portraying.
Yeah.
Like, I know a lot of guys like that back home, whose stories never get told like that.
Right.
So I'm having guys come up to me and be like, hey, Joe, man, I appreciate you, man. Like, cause that's how that shit really is. You know what I'm saying? And for you to tell the real story like that and present it in a real way, you're not glorifying it, you're not glamorizing it. Like, you telling it what it is. To hear that shit from other black men, like, that means a lot.
Cause we don't talk.
We don't.
We don't talk.
And even if a nigga like you, he'd be like, man, I ain't gonna go over there and say
I ain't no fan, nigga.
Yeah.
But just see,
I don't wanna be like no fan. Yeah, I don't wanna be no fan, nigga. Come on, man. You funny as hell.
Let me get this picture for my girl.
Like, bro, you a fan, bro. You a fan.
It's okay. It's cool. It's okay.
Hey, man, I don't even be doing this whole ass shit.
Come on, man. It's okay.
Like, it's okay.
So all you real niggas out there, man, if you see me in public, man, say what's up, man. Don't be an asshole.
But not only that, it's
like nigga.
Right. But even not only that, it's history. Just like you said, Miss, what's her name, Susanna?
Susanna Pass.
Susanna, for her to even put the things in place, and we don't know that.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So it's like, so when you hear her name, you like, okay, she's important.
Yeah.
She's part of the history.
Yeah.
Like, it's so many iconic and icons out there and pioneers who we don't know about.
Oh, but and let me tell you, they know y'all though. Because the one thing about those pioneers and people like Susanna Pass, who are trailblazers, they always keep their ear to the street.
Mm-hmm.
They always checking to see what the youth is talking about, what's relevant in the culture. It may seem like they distant and that they over in just Hollywood, but nah, they
right
watching
there.
Because they're the ones that find that talent and go, man, they need to be on a bigger platform. You know what I'm saying? So nah, just, and I want y'all to know that, y'all know this already, but man, please know that the work that y'all doing and the platform that y'all providing
for guys like myself, for the OGs like Snoop. Man, we appreciate this, man, because we don't get a lot of opportunities to speak to our community directly like that and give them the real. You know what I'm saying? And for black men to celebrate one another the way that y'all do us, like, man, the world needs to see that. So that's why y'all winning, because y'all some real niggas with that shit.
What? You heard him? Nigga? Can you wait?
It sound different coming from Silver.
Hold
up, we gotta get to ATL.
Please, cause my
skates. Gotta get to ATL. Okay. He got his skates on.
Yeah, and then I'll let y'all go.
This shit all day, man.
Welcome back to the ATL.
I'm gonna go ahead and get some with you. I'm gonna sit with you.
Yes, sir.
Chilling with big family, man. None other than Jason Wheeler.
Come on, man.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Thank y'all.
Nigga from Chicago, but didn't get none of my JJ.
Know how that shit be.
That's why he asked.
Look, I didn't know you were going to JJ. I saw y'all have sharks out here, too.
Yeah. We do.
Yeah. That, all of them at the, yeah. the same thing. JJ, Harold.
Yeah, in Sharks. A minute in Atlanta, you're going to be able to get at least two restaurants from it, wherever you're from.
Yeah.
We got Harold's.
Yeah, y'all got
we
two,
got a few Harold's.
Yeah.
That'll give you enough sauce.
Okay.
Now, the one in Marietta, dude, they
yeah. Yeah, the one in Marietta.
The one on Auburn Avenue, they was goddamn rationing out the sauce.
Like, look, we get sauce once a month. How much sauce do you want?
Talk about my folks on Ed's. They try to do their thing, man. Shout out to Harold on Ed's.
At the ice bar.
At the ice bar.
Very limited amount of sauce.
No more sauce.
JJ, get it to you.
In Chicago, they put sauce on your bag. They don't give a fuck.
Sauce go with everything.
Nigga, the bag be thin in the motherfucker. You don't even have to open that shit. You can just push it out the way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, y'all talking about ATL, though. Because I'm going to let y'all go.
You going to let us go? Look, I ain't going to hold.
Yeah, I ain't going to hold. But I got to get this out, because this is important Atlanta history.
Yeah, we in Atlanta right now. Somewhere.
Listen, shout out to Dallas Austin. Let me tell y'all something about Dallas Austin. For those of y'all who may not know, Dallas Austin is a mega super producer who has been producing some of the biggest records in the music industry since the late 80s, going into the 90s. He discovered Monica, another bad creation. Boys to Men, he's responsible for that. It was a whole movement. Listen, LaFace Records, all that, the foundation of Atlanta. Mm-hmm. He's one of the founding fathers. He's there with Jermaine. Mm-hmm. He's there with Organized Noise. Mm-hmm. He's there with Oop Camp.
Talk your shit.
L.A. Babyface. Who else? I mean, the list goes on and on and on, but he's one of the founding fathers.
Yeah.
The reason why y'all have movies like Drumline and ATL mm-hmm. is because of Dallas Austin.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
We had him on here. Okay, cool.
Oh, he had the craziest. Yeah, he was. Oh, he kicked cool. it.
He spent the night in Madonna's castle, and a ghost was in there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, Dallas got some fucking crazy story. Man, he told him.
Both y'all running close with the.
Man,
with
Dallas' shit is even crazy.
Now, you grew up in the whole industry. You done probably seen the weirdest shit.
That's true, but Dallas founded a city.
He did.
He founded an entertainment capital. Like, we all came down here, cats from up north and like from the West Coast in LA. We all came down here because we was trying to fuck with Dallas and Jermaine and Organized Nut. That's why I came down here. I was trying to fuck with them and like learn what this was. And I knew that there was a component to this town where it could be a film and TV town. But those were the guys. I had never seen that before. Mm-hmm. I had never seen niggas pulling up, like young niggas pulling up in Ferraris and shit. And you go into their houses and they sitting on acres and where they fucking houses all the way back there. Like, I had never seen that before. Mm-hmm. And so Atlanta opened my eyes to that, and Dallas was like one of the first people to do that and like to welcome me and my family to this city. So when ATL came up, Dallas and I had already done Drumline together.
Right.
We already did Drumline. Mm-hmm. So we had some success on the film side. But ATL was originally titled Jelly Bean.
Mm.
Yep.
Yep.
And it was gonna be based on the story of Dallas like discovering TLC and all of that. Cause Jelly Bean was like where all of those groups
went to,
the Outkast and all that, that's where they went and hung out when they were kids. Right. You know what I'm saying? So we were trying to retell that story. It evolved over time, and especially with the studio's involvement, the script adjusted, but Dallas had hit me one day and he was like, "Hey man, you know I'm doing another movie down here. Like, you fucking with me? Cause you ain't auditioned for it." And I was like, "Well, I didn't even know
Right. It was going on. So, and that's when I got rid of my agent that I was with, because this nigga fucked that up. Right. He like, dropped the ball.
Right.
So I called him. I was like, hey, man, they shooting another movie down here in Atlanta, a big budget film called Jelly Bean, man. And like, Tip's supposed to be in it. And all these different people. I was like, how are they going to shoot a movie down here like that and I'm not in it? And so they found a way for me to audition.
Right.
And I came in at the tail end. They hadn't cast Teddy yet. They hadn't cast Esquire or Teddy yet. Mm-hmm. So I auditioned for Esquire. Wasn't really convincing with that one. But Teddy, it was like, I mean, because I know yeah, that nigga down here. Like, yeah. I used to kick it with guys like that at 559 and 112 and shit. Like,
you know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Man, no, I know people over here.
You worked the Eddie Goals on the show.
I got family from back then. So, you know, I know what it is. So when I auditioned for that role, everything just rolled into place.
Right.
And it just made sense. And, man, we had a ball.
How long was y'all shooting that bit?
2 months, but every day was a video shoot.
That shit was lit.
Man, it was lit. I mean, we had so much fun, man. To this day, like, I may not speak to Tip every day. I may not see Lauren every day. I may not see Jackie, but man, let us run into each other in the street somewhere, just some random shit.
Right.
Man, we together for the rest of the night. Like, we all became a real family on that show.
Yeah.
And we just genuinely enjoyed each other's company. Tip was gracious because, you know, I've been living in Atlanta for a long time, but there was still some things I didn't know about it. And then the rest of them, they were all out from California shit.
Right.
So this nigga would, after we get through rehearsing at Skate Town, he'd get everybody in the car, and we would like go through the SWATs, we'd go through Bankhead, he'd be like, should we go down Simpson Road? Then we go to like Buckhead. He would take us around the city so we could get a feel for what's going on with the people and the culture and the energy. Mm-hmm. And just him being so gracious, Big Boy, like Big Boy would always set up where he'd have a masseuse come if we had like a hard day on set and we've been skating all day, he would have like his private masseuse come and like give everybody back rubs and you can get your nails done and
that's
shit.
Cold. That's cold.
It was some player shit. We had a ball. Shout out to Chris Robinson.
Okay.
Yeah. Shout out to Will Smith, who was one of our executive producers. Shout out to T-Boss.
Will Smith was one of the executive producers?
Yeah. He was one of the EPs and T-Boss.
Overbrook did it, right?
Overbrook did it. Yeah.
Overbrook.
James Lasseter. Those guys. Charlie Mack was down here. Charlie Mack
been everything.
Charlie Mack would be skating with us at rehearsal. His big ass would be fucking tripping all up and down.
Charlie Mack.
That's right.
T-Boss got to come on this bitch, too.
She got to. She got a story to tell.
Chili got to come, too.
I feel like you still, the Jelly Bean movie still need to be made.
Fact, because that's a different group. That was my generation. Now you gotta understand, when y'all made the look I gotta take it back. When they said Cascade, I grew up in the Cascade skating rink. That's my shit.
Gotcha.
I was the first young skating crew Cascade ever had. We don't want competitions. I don't care what nobody said. That's my shit.
Okay.
You understand me?
Okay. The first young skate.
Nigga, I remember when the first opened up, nigga, dust used to be coming down in our eyes. We couldn't fucking skate, my nigga. You feel what I'm saying? Damn. We complained and we got shit straight in that bitch.
Yeah.
So when y'all came down, they were like, ATL, they about to shoot a movie in this bitch. Cause we thought it was just our shit.
Yeah.
This is our hangout.
Yeah.
And we were like, they not about to make a movie about skaters. They like, nigga, they finna shut this bitch down for about 2.5 months, and we ain't got nowhere to go. So we was mad about not having nowhere to go, but we was like, we can't wait to see the movie because we want to see what type of shit they gonna portray about ATL.
Yeah.
Nigga, y'all had skate crews who I used to skate with in the movie. Mm-hmm. All them niggas, Mario, the nigga who took Lauren from in the house party.
Yeah.
I know that.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? Uh-huh. He was in there talking, acting like he mad. I'm like, nigga, you ain't mad, nigga, you mad.
Yeah.
But it was like, when that shit came out, bro, Atlanta was so, we was excited and we appreciate the movie so, cause that's our shit.
Yeah.
That's like the whole world get to know about ATL through that goddamn movie. And a lot of people in the movie theater resonated with you more so because you was Eddie.
Yeah.
You the nigga who did Eddie Goes.
Yeah.
And Eddie Goes was a nigga that was popping at the time.
Yeah.
Right. And everybody knew, what's up, Eddie? I don't know where you at.
Yeah.
But don't go to Eddie, cause you gonna make your goals too big.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Right. You gonna walk out with the
young man. That's what we said. You wanna know what we said on the rest of this video? Go to that.
Just in case you wonder what we're doing, we are now showing you just how important having the 85 South Show app is, because you was watching this show thinking, oh, they done finally put the shit back on YouTube.
No.
They was listening. We weren't.
We weren't.
It's on the app.
It's on the app.
The rest of this, listen, the rest of the audio is on the app.
Woo! Woo! All right, now you gotta know what we said. You gotta go get the app. That's the 85 South Show app. It's available on Amazon, Fire Stick, Apple TV, wherever you get your subscription.
No, it's not. It's just available directly where they sell apps.
Boy, they don't sell apps on Apple TV? Well, y'all should fuck with us too, Apple TV. What's wrong with y'all?
It
fuck
is
Roku.
On there.
Put it on Roku.
Don't say fuck nobody.
No, I didn't say fuck them. I said put it. I said we fuck with them.
Oh, we do.
My house full of Rokus.
Oh.
There's Roku remote everywhere.
Yeah.
So subscribe to the app. It's only $8.99 a month or $85 a year. So you get a whole year for $85. Did you know that?
It's $8.50 and then you got to pay tax.
Yeah. So, you know, it's $8.
You know, we get them all type of content. You know what? We're not even going to tell them who you got your glasses from until they get it on
the app. I mean, hey, you got to watch the app. The app is available. All of these people that say we should keep putting this on YouTube for free, what about the years of freeness that we've already provided upon you? We gave this away for free for years. Let's move together. $85
a year. Why would you let somebody come invest in the show and put it on another network and you're buying their subscription? You don't ask them why you're buying their shit. So don't ask us. We're putting it on the app. Who's over the app? Nobody knows. Get the app.
Yeah. We saw what you said in the comments.
We sure did.
We saw it.
We saw everybody.
The good, the
we
bad.
Got somebody read every fucking comment.
And the ugly.
So
you know what? We folding under this pressure.
Sure did.
We hear you.
We heard you.
We hear you.
We went and did.
We'll just get the fuck on at y'all way.
Just for an hour though.
Yep.
That's all you get is an hour. So don't you can't complain. Well, we're the rest of it.
I think they should get 37 minutes.
Oh, see, we gotta hurry up.
And we should just put a whole bunch of ads in between, like long ass ads, like 5 minute ads. Hey, how you doing?
Slow motion ads.
Slow it down. Waste a motherfucking time.
Yeah. Let's just go ahead and make sure. Channel85.com. I want to make sure I read what they wrote. They wrote some shit out for us. These niggas don't know how to spell or type proper sentences, but they trying to get us to get y'all to buy the app. What, you think we want to read this shit?
Channel 85, man. So we can talk that shit, man. Ladies, don't you like the deep thrust? Go get it on the app.
That's right. On the app. Uncensored, unfiltered, and edited. Can you believe that? I'm talking about with actual production in it. Jump cuts, clips. All types of like exclusive shit that they don't even know that we did. They don't even know that we got a show where we be cooking like exotic foods and shit.
Okay.
That's on the
we
app.
Got sports shows.
Yep.
Talk shows, documentaries.
Chico got a handwriting class that he
Real
teach.
Nobody passed it. Cause that's why the shit looked like this. But we're working on it and you can see it on the app.
They didn't even tell them about the tax course that we had uploaded on there.
No cap.
They don't even know that we got a whole show about Wall Street.
And a $5 on the app.
Right. And we got the alternate ending to The Color Purple up there.
Oh, man.
No cap. We got the raw edition, all the uncut, all the bloopers. We got all that.
Right.
It's on the app.
So if you want to see some shit that, you know, they trying to hide from you, go to the app. I'm leaving, though.
Channel85.com. Go get the app. You got an hour for free. We gave you what you wanted. Now give us some subscriptions to the app.
$8.50, $8.99
with tax, $85 a year. Channel85.com, 85 South Show. Get the app.
Well, see, this is what they don't know. The app really $3, but adjusted for inflation is $8.99. Yeah.
What Lo said. Get the app, man. Stop bullshitting.
We out of here, man. We're not about to keep working all this time for...
Been working for free. We are going on out, baby. We are going on out.
We on your way too, fly.
On air.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, Real sweat, blood, and tears. Real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
The NBA Finals begin Thursday, June 6th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ABC.
During the summer, when the weather gets hot, I can only imagine how much time you plan to spend outside with friends or alone on your couch with that AC blasting. AT&T 5G and home internet keeps you connected so you can enjoy all the summertime vibes. Whether you're sharing pics from a rooftop, video calling your friends from an outdoor concert, or streaming your favorite show episode after episode. So stay connected to your favorite people and your favorite things with AT&T 5G and home internet. AT&T 5G requires compatible plan and device. Coverage not available everywhere. Learn more at att.com/5G for you. Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.